Good morning. Good to see such a good-looking crowd on such a diverse day. The sun is almost shining right now. We're glad you're here. Glad you could be with us. We have some visitors with us. It's good to see Diane and the kids. We have some folks all the way from Florida. Welcome to Ohio. Christian hope is a beautiful thing. It's a very comforting thing. We dare not underestimate hope. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:24, the King James Version says we are saved by hope. A lot of people don't understand what that means. The modern translations say we're saved in hope. I didn't really look up the preposition there in the Greek, because either way, If we're saved by hope or if we're saved in hope, they're essentially the same thing. Because it is of the hope, it is because of the hope that we have for the forgiveness of our sins and eternity in heaven. That knowledge is what prompts us to obedience. Having that blessed hope is the catalyst for being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hope is defined by the lexicographers, an expectation of what is sure or certain. An expectation of what is sure or certain. And I suppose we should qualify that by saying what is certain with regard to things in this life. It's a desire for something with a logical expectation of receiving it. I might wish somebody famous would walk through the doors and walk up here to the pulpit and hand me $1 million. I don't really have any hope of that. It's not logical. And I don't expect it. Therefore, I have no hope of that. Hope is that which expresses our confidence in a future event. And again, this is qualified by having a reasonable, a logical expectation of receiving it. I hope to have lunch with my wife in an hour, half or so. It's logical, it's reasonable, it's happened before, so I have no reason to think it shouldn't happen again. It's not guaranteed, of course. A lot could happen between here and the house. But I have a reasonable expectation of it. So that's what I hope for. And I know I talked about this a little bit here. I don't remember if it was in a sermon or Bible class a week or so ago. But to have zero hope has to be the bleakest of all states. And I remember talking about hell for just a moment. Because the duration of heaven and the duration of hell are exactly the same, according to Matthew 25, about verse 46 or so. These shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Everlasting and eternal, they're the same word in the Greek. Why they changed them in English, I don't know. You'd have to go to a time machine back to about 1611 to figure out why. But the duration of heaven and the duration of hell are exactly the same. They're eternal. There's no end. And that's what makes hell, or that's one of the things that makes hell, hell. There is no hope. If you were consigned to hell for a million years, after the first year, you'd be 1 year closer to getting out of hell. That gives you hope. But there is no hope in hell. There is only hope in this life. And I don't know of anybody in the right mind who would hope for an eternity in hell. And yet people, Christians even, live like that. They live in a way that is not consistent with their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So we are either living with hope for heaven, or we are living for hope of hell. Where does your earnest hope lie? Do you have real hope for heaven? Or are you simply wishing for heaven? Hope is not a wish. It's not a fantasy. It's not pie in the sky. It's not a pipe dream. Pipe dream, that term came about in the 1870s, where people were smoking opium and they were having hallucinations, And when they started having these crazy hallucinations, they were said to be having a pipe dream. That's prompted one atheist to say that religion was the opiate of the masses, because they think that what you and I believe in is a pipe dream. It's not. Heaven is real. Now, there is such a thing as false hope. And a lot of people live their lives under the guise of false hope, and sadly many Christians, as long as they throw God a bone once in a while, then I'll go to heaven. People put false hope in riches in this life. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, and he says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Don't set your hopes on uncertain riches or the uncertainty of riches. And I don't care how big a bank account you got. I don't care how much gold you have in a safe somewhere. It's not worth putting the stake of your soul upon it. There was in the 90s, there were a lot of people that had it made in the shade. But the Enron tree fell. And they lost a lot. They had set their hope for retirement and security in uncertain riches. Riches make things more convenient in this life, but they're not going to amount to a hill of beans in the next life. God's not going to look at your bank account. He might look at what you spent. He might look at where you spent it, what you spent it on, how much you gave to yourself versus how much you gave to the church, how much you spent on liquor and other things that are ungodly and unholy versus how much you spent in benevolence. But that's really not a look at your bank account. That's a look at your heart, isn't it? Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal." And if he hadn't even added the second to the next verse, the implication would be, don't put your hope in things here, but put them on a higher plane. Put it where it counts, in that heavenly bank account, if you will. Man puts his hope in man sometimes. Why, do you know there are some people who don't ever read their Bible? They just, whatever the preacher says, they just take it and they go with it. Did you know that there's people like that? They never open their Bible. They never check out to make sure the preacher's telling them right. And when they have a religious discussion with somebody, it's never, well, the Bible says. They always say, well, my preacher says. But your preacher's a man. He's fallible. He can make mistakes. In Jeremiah 17:5, the prophet writes, thus saith Jehovah, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see, when we start putting our hope and our confidence in a mere man, that detracts, that takes from the glory and the honor and the hope that we should be placing in Jehovah God. The psalmist wrote, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. He says, don't put your hope, your faith, your confidence in everyday man. And don't put your trust and your faith and your hope in the politicians. Isn't it a remarkable thing that we've been told and told and told to follow the science, and now we got one that can't tell what a woman is? Is there any more reason not to put your faith and your hope and your trust in mere man? Many have false hope for the next life. You ask 9 out of 7 people on the street, are you going to heaven when you die? And they'll say, well, yes. How do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, because I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, or I believe in Allah. The majority of people on earth declare they're going to heaven. And yet Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that the minority of people are going to heaven. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so for continuity, I'm going to read it out of here instead of quoting it. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. It's a wide path. It's easy to go there. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So the world says, oh yeah, most people are going to heaven. Jesus says, most people are not going to heaven. And it's not his fault. Some hope, some wish that there will be no punishment in the afterlife. And yet Jesus says in Mark 9:47, and if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. No punishment in hell. They wish. They hope there'll be no punishment. And I use wish as the way we use it, because we often use the word hope to mean wish. And they say, well, I hope there's no punishment in hell if I got to go there. You know, you don't have hope of that. You may wish for no punishment, but you have no hope of it. Because hell is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for Christians. It wasn't prepared for people. But people sin, and if they don't repent, that's where they're going to go. I don't make the rules, people. I'm just telling you what the book says. what our Lord Jesus said. But he went to the cross, and we didn't have to do that. Some people hope or wish that they will have a second chance after death, but it doesn't work that way. You know, we might make a mistake one day. Say we say something insensitive or mean to our spouse, and we go to bed or the couch. But then we wake up the next day, and it's like, I've got a second chance. I'm going to make this up to her. I'm going to go get her a dozen roses. I'm going to take her out for a nice steak dinner. And he can make up. But once we die, we don't get that second chance with God. Our spirit leaves our body, and it's like, okay, I've died. You know, I didn't go to church like I should have. I'm going to do better. Wait a minute. You died. You don't get a second chance. The Hebrews writer said in 9:27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. We either get it right now, or we're lost for eternity. John, this is a sermon on hope. It was supposed to be a happy sermon. Well, let's talk about true hope for a minute. In whom should we place our hope? Not riches, not man, not the government, not our spouses, not our children, not our parents, not the preacher, not the... If you're fortunate enough to go to a church that has elders, not the elders. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:1. They signed their letters at the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. Paul, by inspiration, identifies Jesus Christ as our hope. He's the one. In Romans 15:13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So he's the God of hope, and he's the one that enables us to abound in hope. There's no mystery there as to where our hope should lie. We've all got friends. We have our best friend. But we cannot place our hope in our best friend. Now, our best friend, our spouse, parent, children, co-worker, teacher, whoever, might lead you to Christ. And you can be grateful for them. But you can't place your hope in that person. Because that person didn't die on a cross for your sins. It's Christ, Jesus the Lord. For what should we hope? Well, number one, we need to hope for a bodily resurrection. Why should we hope for that? Because we want to be there. It's going to happen. We have hope that there is a bodily resurrection. In Acts 23:6, Paul alluded to this when he was arrested, and he says, when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out and said, brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and it is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. He said that because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did. So Paul used that to get these factions fighting amongst themselves and hopefully take the focus off of him for a bit. The people say, well, you know, our body's going to rot and decay in the ground. This body is. But we have a spiritual body that's going to be resurrected. John 5:28-29, marvel not that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. What's in the grave? The body. I don't understand all I know about it. But there's going to be a bodily resurrection. We're going to have a glorified body. It won't be this body that's racked with pain and has to take medicine and therapy and it hurts and needs treatments. We're going to have a glorified body. Philippians 3 and verse 21, Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. The same body that Christ has now, we will have a body like that at some point. We hope for an eternity in heaven because of the hope. That's where our hope is being stored for us, Colossians 1 and verse 5. We are to lay up treasures in heaven because that's where our hope is stored. I don't have hope for this world. Now, that sounds like a bleak statement. And I'm not really talking about the political climate and the war in the Ukraine. But this world's not going to be here forever. My body, my glorified body, is going to exist for eternity. This earth is not, according to 2 Peter 3:10. It's all going to come to a flaming halt someday. So I have no hope in this sphere of existence. We should hope for confidence. A lot of Christians struggle because they lack the necessary confidence that is part and parcel to hope. Look what Paul wrote Titus in Titus 1, 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords to godliness, look, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. His eternal purpose, that goes back to that eternal purpose we talked about in Bible class this morning. We can have confidence. Do you believe God would ever lie to you? Did God tell you what to do to be saved? Then do it and have confidence. Have hope of heaven. John wrote, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Underline that you may know that you have life eternal. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Then you can go to God and you can repent of the sins you commit therein. And you know that if you're sincere, God will forgive you. And you can know that you have eternal life. It's a sad thing when you ask somebody, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And they go, I don't know. Because they either haven't done or haven't heard what to do to be saved. They haven't done it. Or they don't trust God. And they don't take God at His word. That's sad. We can trust God. I don't know if I can be good enough. You can't be good enough. If we could have been good enough, Christ wouldn't have had to go to the cross. We don't deserve heaven. That's why it's called grace. And that's why we have real hope of heaven. Because it's a gift that's been offered to us. And we just meet Christ on His terms. Where do we find hope? We find hope, number one, in the Scriptures. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through faith and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It's not trite to read your Bibles in times of trouble. People say, I've been going through a lot of bad times, so I've just been reading the Bible. Good. That's exactly what you should do. Well, I've just been praying. Great. Keep it up. There's nothing better to do. Study God's Word and communicate with the Lord. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're getting it right. The hope that we find in Scripture is the one true hope of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 and following, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? Have you obeyed Christ? You know, hope has some responsibilities attendant to it. Hope, you see, allowed for the spread of Christianity in the first century. People had that hope, the glorious promise. And multitudes are still looking for that great hope. So our responsibility is to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready to give to everyone that asketh a reason for the hope that is in you. Teach the word. We can rejoice in hope. Romans 5:2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have the hope of seeing someday the glory of God firsthand. And it'll be more spectacular than anything you've seen on earth, anything that you've ever imagined. We have the responsibility to defend the hope that we have. Paul said, since we have this hope, we are very bold. We can defend the hope boldly and yet lovingly. We have the responsibility to live pure lives. 1 John 3:3, anyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We are to try to make ourselves as pure as Christ. Because we have the hope, we want to live according to Christ so we can continue in that hope. And finally, we need to hold on to this hope. Don't let it slip from your grasps. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. We don't boast in personal achievements. We boast and glory in what God has done. And then you and I can have real hope. Biblical hope is not a mere wish, brethren and friends. Christianity is not some wishing well religion. Andrew Carnegie once said, take away my people but leave my factories, soon grass will grow on the factory floor. Take away my factories but leave my people and soon we will have a new and better factory. We have real hope when we apply things rightly. Don't allow your hope to be a mere wish. Our hope as Christians is based upon faith. Faith that was produced in us by sufficient evidence, by studying the Word. And therefore, our faith results in genuine hope of an eternal reward for the righteous. I want you today to have genuine biblical hope of heaven. I don't want you to just throw a coin in a fountain and say, well, I wish to go to heaven. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you will repent of your sins. And if you'll confess the name of the Lord Jesus, it would be our privilege to to immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins according to the Bible command, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Only then do you have biblical hope. And anything less than that is not hope. Don't put heaven on your wish list. Make it your hope. Become a New Testament Christian today. Perhaps you are a Christian, but you've let the hope fade. Renew that hope today. Whatever your need might be, we encourage you to take a seat on the front row right now as we stand and sing.